Our gospel reading this morning is chapter 8 of Mark's gospel. This is a turning point in Mark's gospel. It is dead center in the whole gospel passages. And basically what happens here is Peter declares to Jesus that he is the Messiah. It's the first time that Jesus acknowledges that he is someone special sent by God. And from that point on, he begins to, instead of teaching them how to be apostles, he teaches them what it means to be a Messiah, and it doesn't have anything to do with the expectations that people have had for centuries. And so it brings a difficulty of exactly what will happen in the rest of his life. This from chapter 8. Jesus went on with his disciples to the villages of Caesarea Philippi, and on the way he asked his disciples, "Who do people say I am?" And they answered, "John the Baptist, and others Elijah, and still others one of the prophets." He asked them, "But who do you say that I am?" Peter answered him, "You are the Messiah." And he sternly ordered them not to tell anyone about him. But he began to teach them that the Son of Man must undergo great suffering and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes, and be killed, but after 3 days, rise again. He said all of this quite openly, but Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But turning and looking at his disciples, he rebuked Peter and said, "Get behind me, Satan, for you are setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things." The Gospel of the Lord. I'd like to begin with a confession. This morning, which is something I don't always do, as I tried to match everything that I'm wearing today so it was coordinated, and since I had kind of gold-colored buckles on my shoes, I put my gold pretense watch on my hand, which I haven't worn in a while, and it died at 9:30. Yes. So I'm going to ask you, be kind. I usually check the time periodically, and just if I get carried away, just leave. Okay. No. Thank you, dear. Thank you. At least noon. This morning's gospel, I think, offers some interesting things. I thought I'd begin by kind of putting a kind of a parenthesis around the beginning and a parenthesis on the end to kind of make it more practical, I think. I asked the question, who do people say you are? Who do people say you are? How do you know yourself through other people? It's an interesting question because if you ponder it just a bit, and I give it to you again at the end as a reminder to do it during the week, ask yourself that, who do people say I am? Being in the position that I'm in and have been in for a while, you get lots of feedback on who they think you really are. And sometimes that can be very elating, and sometimes it can be very depressing, and sometimes you realize more than anything else that as a human being, you're all of those things. But being able to live with all of those things is a challenge, I think, for every one of us if we start asking the question. Jesus in the gospel this morning asked his disciples, they've been with him now for a while, probably 2 years or so, and so he says, you know, who do people say that I am? And they say, well, one of the prophets, John the Baptist, whatever, pulling out the big figures in the history of Judaism to indicate that he obviously is coming from a long line of very important, powerful, centrally dynamic people. And he says, but then who do you say I am? And the interesting thing is, Peter says you are the Messiah in Mark's gospel. In Matthew's gospel, he says you are the Son of God, the one sent from God to be with us. Interestingly, the response is somewhat different, but Jesus' response is very interestingly different. In Mark's gospel, which is the first gospel, this is before the early church had developed any kind of I think I want to say structure, and not just structure, but also a theological base from which they were going to operate. In Mark's gospel, he says, Peter says, you are the Messiah, and Jesus says, but the Messiah is going to suffer and die and all that stuff, and Peter pulls him aside and says, that ain't going to happen. That's not who the Messiah is supposed to be. And Jesus turns to him and rebukes him and says, get behind me, Satan. So the one who was able to proclaim him as the Messiah and see that there's something extremely special about him now has become the exact opposite. And Jesus points out something very significant. You're looking at things through human eyes. Start looking at things from God's eyes. And then he goes on to teach them something else. But if you go to Matthew's gospel, this very same scene takes place. Peter says, you are the Son of God, etc. And instead of rebuking him, Jesus says in Matthew's gospel, this is only revealed to you by the Father. And so I declare that you are the rock. Peter means rock in Greek. You are rock. And upon this rock, I will build my church. And the powers of hell will not fend against you. And whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Peter was designated in Matthew's gospel as the first head of the community, the church. And Pope Francis in Rome today, or wherever he happens to be, can draw a direct line from his higher papacy all the way down to Peter. That's the consistent line in Catholicism of direct lineation back to Jesus, which is why the Pope is considered to be such a very important person. Now, regardless of the historical stuff and all the things that the popes did wrong and all the rest of it, just biblically, the church stands on that foundation. But isn't it interesting that you have two very different responses? And I think that asks us why in Mark's gospel would he turn to him and say, get behind me, Satan. When we ask the question, I've wrestled with this all week because I knew this was coming up, who would I say Jesus is? The history of Jesus in my life is fairly plain and simple, but it's summarized in the fact that everything that I've come to draw as a conclusion about who Jesus is has more to do with what I've been taught and what I have deciphered for myself, all of it very intellectual. So I can stand up here and I can kind of hold forth until noon if I want to and, you know, kind of say things about Jesus that you would all go, oh, yeah, that's interesting, hopefully, before you nod off. But the truth is, for most of us, if Jesus were to stand here today and say to us, who do you say I am? Wouldn't we basically have to respond from an intellectual way how we have come to know about Jesus, what we understand about Jesus? And depending on our theological education, that may be something simple and something very benign, or it could be profoundly overwhelming. But it'd be an interesting question to ask. What I've come to understand in all of this, and we've talked about this again and again, but I think it needs to be said over and over again, Jesus came to reveal something about God, not so that we would understand God. It's not about understanding. It's not about learning. It's about experiencing. And experiencing in the mold that Jesus gave to us, the model that he set for us, has everything to do with our interaction with one another. You know, we say that each one of us is an extension of God. And each one of us brings to the world a very unique expression of what God wanted to say to the world. And from that vantage point, we ask the question, how much have we heard or seen or witnessed about God from one another? Do we even have that expectation? Probably not. But if you look at what Jesus did in his life, and that's usually how we judge people, that's how you and I are judged by the world outside of us, what we do. He spent his time with people who are the marginal. He kind of presented an upside-down version of the world. If they were rich, the ones who were most important were poor. If you were in power, the ones who were most important were the weak. If you were somehow important to the people and you had great fame, the ones who were humble are the ones that he focuses on. Jesus sets an upside-down world. The gospel is an upside-down world. But the key is the last line of today's reading. You were setting your mind on human things and not setting your mind on divine things, on godly things. You are seeing as we always have to see through our human eyes. But will we ever move to being able to see with our godly eyes that we've been given? Remember last week or 2 weeks ago, I suggested from Meister Eckhart, the eyes with which you gaze into God's eyes are the very eyes that God uses to gaze into yours. The eyes with which we see determines who Jesus is. But more than that, Jesus I see as a historical person. A person who was born, who grew in such a powerful and dynamic way in a union with God, that he began to reveal to us more perfectly than any other human being on earth who God really is. And thus he becomes the reflection of the Christ, the pre-existent Christ. God, before the whole thing began, this is our understanding of creation, when there was nothing, God existed. And pre-existing in God was the Christ and the Spirit. Those three different characters are responding to people in the dialogue throughout Scripture. One as a father, one as a leader, one as a redeemer, one as a broken person, one that's humble, and the other that inspires and sets people on fire about God. They pre-existed. And so what you have in time is that the pre-existent Christ becomes a part of the human family and binds us together in a way that could never otherwise possibly be bound, and done so that we can touch it and see it and feel it. And he gave us sacraments to remind us what that's about. Take away all the church stuff. Take away all the developed theology. Back in Jesus' day when he broke bread, he said, "This is God. This is given for you. And whatever you do to one another, you do to me. And however you care for the weakest, the poorest, the downtrodden, makes you servants. And as a servant, you have the blessing of God, for you are the poor in spirit. You are the salt of the earth. You are the ones that make dignity possible in the world. And that's what God intends." So I come back to my opening statement. Who do you think people say you are? I'm the minister. I have a lot of roles. I'm a husband. I'm a grandfather. Coolest thing ever. I'm a friend. I'm a brother. I'm a pain. I'm annoying. I'm closed-minded. I'm pig-headed. I'm stubborn. I'm judgmental. I mess up a lot. From God's eyes, who do I know I am? In the same way, in God's eyes, who do you know you are? Not what they say about you, not what you've learned, through God's eyes, who do you say you are? Amen.